الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وزوجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، سلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد، we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Allah to exalt, dimension, grant peace and send His blessings and salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his companions, his wives, and all those who follow them on their path of righteousness until the end of time. As to what follows, we continue with the discussion on the book Mukhtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin, Ibn Qudamah al-Maqdisi alayhi rahmatullah. And we are in the process of initiating the discussion on Kitab al-Hajji wa asrarihi wa fada'ilihi wa adabihi wa nahw dhalik. The chapter on Hajj, the secrets of Hajj, the virtues of Hajj, the etiquettes of Hajj, and things of that sort. He says, rahimahullah, يَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ أَرَادَ الْحَجَّ أَنْ يَبْدَأَ بِالتَّوْبَةِ وَرَدِّ الْمَظَالِمِ وَقَضَاءِ الدُّيُونِ وَإِعْدَادِ النَّفَقَةِ لِكُلِّ مَنْ تَلْزَمُهُ نَفَقَتَهُ إِلَى وَقْتِ الرُّجُوعِ وَيَرُدُّ مَا عِنْدَهُ مِنَ الْوَدَائِعِ. It's incumbent on the person who wants to perform Hajj to begin with repentance. You begin with repentance. You may say, well, I want to go for Hajj so I can repent. Right? Hajj is the opportunity for repentance. I mean, once you're there, that's what comes to mind. That's why you find many Muslims who, may Allah rectify our condition of theirs, who don't pray, they don't fast. Well, they may practice 10% of Islam. And whether they express that verbally or they keep it to themselves, in their mind, when I'm 45, 50 years old, huh? I go to Hajj once and I'll be a newborn baby and all my sins will be forgiven and then I will start practicing Islam. Many people, believe it or not, think this way. This is the way they think, which is very strange. It's very strange for many reasons. What is the first reason? Why is this thinking, incorrect? Good. There's no guarantee that Hajj will be accepted. You may go for Hajj and beat up the bus driver, which happens very often. Khalas. Hajj ended right there. That's the second reason. Who guarantees that someone will lift at 40, 50? So we can neither guarantee our endurance in this life up until that point, nor can we guarantee that we will perform Hajj as would be pleasing to Allah. And so we could live that long and do a bad Hajj, or we may not even live. So that is a terrible way of thinking. That's why many of the ulama, they say that Hajj is obligatory as soon as you can afford it. There's no delay. Mubasharatan. Once you have the fulus and you have the transportation and the arrangement, don't say, I'm going to do Hajj next year. Mm-mm. Once you have it, ala al-fawr, as the ulama say, it's instantly obligatory on you to do Hajj. Until we have some reasons that prevent us from doing Hajj, we have the excuse. We have excuse. We're excused by Allah. Because Allah said, لِمَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ عَلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. And the sabil, as the ulama explain, is that you have the financial ability, you have some money to look after your family members while you're gone, and you have the means to go there. Now the means have become easy, alhamdulillah. And you have the trains and buses and airplanes and cars and motorcycles and dabbab, you know, bicycle, you can even walk, ya sheikh. So, alhamdulillah, it's been facilitated. But other things we have to take care of. So the Shaykh said we should begin with tawbah then. Before we actually go for Hajj, we should do tawbah to Allah from all of our sins and then begin Hajj. Not wait till we get there, because we may never get there. وَرَدِّ الْمَظَالِمِ. Who can translate that? We've mentioned this expression in many, many classes. Specifically when we deal with tawbah. We say tawbah has shurut, shurut tawbah. And the last one is رَدُّ الْمَظَالِمِ. Anyone remembers? No one remembers? You guys came to the khutbah yesterday, right? Yeah, I mentioned that in the khutbah, man. Returning people's rights.
Huh? Remember it now. Okay, next time I'm going to ask you, inshallah, if you don't know, you'll be banned. Raddul Madhalim is, Radd is to return. Huh? Raddul Salam, to return the Salam. You say Salam Alaikum, Raddul Salam, same, Wa Alaikum Salam. Madhalim is something which you've wrongfully acquired. You've gotten something from someone in an unfair manner. This is madhlama, something you've taken wrongfully. So Raddul Madhalim is returning the things which you have taken unlawfully, giving them back to their owners. This is what is intended. وَإِعْدَادِ النَّفَقَ وَقَضَاءِ الدُّيُونَ. What is قَضَاءِ الدُّيُونَ? Only good at filming, huh? Come on, brother. Wait. We need him to work his brain out. يلا. قَضَاء. Take it easy, Hajj. طريق يا حاج طريق. Wait. قضاء. Huh? You're on camera. يلا, be careful. You're going to become famous after this for not knowing the answer. Anyone else? I'll skip you this time, but be ready for something else, inshallah. Huh? Just to make your life exciting, akhi. I think it's gonna have this flavor. Na'am, ya muhandis. Paying the debt. Huh? Is that true? Tayyib. What is debt in English? In Arabic? Dain. Says here duyun. It's plural, صح? So paying back the debts. Which means, as many of the ulama say, if you owe someone 5,000 riyals, huh? And it costs you 5,000 riyals to perform Hajj, what do you do? You pay the money back first. You pay the money back first before you do Hajj. You say, how come? This is Hajj and Farida, and it's once in a lifetime, and this and that. You say the rights of the Adamiyin, Huquq al-Adamiyin, has to be given precedence. Because Allah has allowed you to wait until you're able to. However, the person wants his money back. And if you were to die while owing that person money, you will cause trouble for yourself and for your inheritors, who have to now maybe come up with the money to pay them, because you borrowed money, meaning you're not rich. So now when you die, people have to come and collect money to pay on your behalf. You had the money, pay back people's debts. And then when you have surplus of money of your own, you do Hajj. Or the other solution is, seek their permission. Say, Mr., I owe you 5,000 riyals and I want to do Hajj. I have 5,000 riyals. If you allow me to do Hajj and I'll pay you later, Jazakallahu khair. And if not. If he says, ma fi mushkila, I can wait, go for Hajj, Barakallahu lak. Otherwise, give the people their money back. Don't withhold their money. He may be in need of the money more than you. You go in there doing Hajj and drinking juice and eating cake with his money, and he's sitting there, he's borrowing money now from other people because he lent you money. وإعداد النفقة لكل من تلزمه نفقة إلى وقت الرجوع. And you should also prepare the spending money to in regards to all of those upon whom it's obligatory for you to spend on, which is wife and kids and parents. So you have to make sure that they have their need fulfilled. Don't just leave them and say, "Wallah, you'll manage. I'm just going to go do Hajj and you can fast for the next, 10 days or whatever I'm gone." ما في مشكلة. They have the right to be provided with their nafaqah. And then, until you return, وَيَرُدُّ مَا عِنْدَهُ مِنَ الْوَدَاعِ. If you have been holding some, you've been entrusted with some items, or you're holding some people's personal stuff, give it back to them. Just in case you don't return, then you wouldn't have anything that belongs to people, their property in your possession. Give it back to the original owners. وَيَسْتَصْحِبُ مِنَ الْمَالِ الْحَلَالِ مَا يَكْفِيهِ لِذَهَابِهِ وَرُجُوعِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ تَقْتِيرٍ عَلَى وَجْهِ أو مفروش على وجه يمكنه معه توسع في الزاد والرفق بالفقراء. What does it have in your book? Does it say وجهي or وجه؟ أو على وجه؟ لا في مشكلة. And you take with you halal money, lawful money, sufficient for you to be able to go and come back without being miserly. Yani take enough for you to be able to take care of yourself. Don't go in a state of being needy so that you will not become a burden upon other Muslims, which is sadly what we see today. People come just to beg. Their whole Hajj is begging, wal'iyadu billah. Just asking for money and collecting money and asking for, I don't know how many days they do this. And they stay around after Hajj is over and they continue their begging expedition for Allah knows how long. And then of course, you know, there are some agencies who have done some studies. They find that these people go back home and they live in castles. They live in some fancy mansion from money they collected begging. Just to know what's out there. Now, I'm not discouraging anyone from giving sadaqah. Give sadaqah, jazakallah khair. But you may want to be a little more selective about who to give the sadaqah to. And you see some amazing things. I was with my family yesterday in the car getting some gas. Huh? And there are these young kids who are selling chewing gum. Hello? Beautiful little kids. So, I'm not saying this because I did anything special. Any one of you would do this. But just to share the benefit. And I may ask Allah to give me sincerity. But the bottom line is, I decided to give him some money. Nothing major. But just to give some sadaqah. I find these people are more deserving than the ones who will come at the window at the traffic light. Huh? These ones are trying to work. They're little kids, but they're trying to work. Versus people that, you know, you see nothing wrong with them. Or even if something wrong with them, he's just asking for money. And it was this little girl, little tiny girl, maybe she's 5-6 years old. And I have a 5-6 year old girl in the back. She's wearing a hijab and everything. Said, كيف الحال? Said, Alhamdulillah, mashallah. She's sending gums, Alhamdulillah. That's the first answer. So I gave her some money. I said, take this. And so she wanted to give me gum. I told her, I don't want gum. Just take the money. So she threw the gum in the car and she ran away. So she's trained not to take money without giving you something. And then we gave her a ma'mool. So we saw her go sit in the corner and eat the ma'mool and that's it. So it's an amazing experience. But you feel that this is the kind of person that you want to give something to. So when you see these ladies pushing a cart, collecting some you know, wooden stuff and some boxes, some cans, they're trying to do something to sell it, this is the person you probably want to give your money to. Not someone who waits for 50 million cars a day, knocking on each window, one riyal. By the time the day is over, Allah knows how much they have. And Allah knows whether they are qualified for the sadaqah or not. But if you want to give, ajruka ala Allah. No one can say that your sadaqah is gone to waste. Allah will give you according to your niyyah, but you may not want to support this kind of conduct. So be more selective, barakallahu feek, with to whom you give money. Ala kulli hal, the Shaykh said, enough that to allow you to go and come back without being miserly. In a manner, ala wajhin yumkinuhu ma'u tawassu' fi zad, so that you can actually expand in your spending. You can eat and you have you're well taken care of. Warifqi bil fuqara, and you can also be kind to the poor. So if you go on Hajj and you got some fulus, don't take less than required. No, take more money and spend. And go buy food for the people. See them standing in line, people sitting on the side of the street or whatever, and you have some money to buy bake. Now, the bake is like the biggest fitna of Hajj. I didn't know it until you see what's going on over there. What's going on with this bake? Huh? Even people made jokes about it, which is inappropriate actually, because it has an ibadah, and you don't want to bring the ibadat and the expressions of ibadat into the games and the jokes of the people. But it's really bad in this regard. So these people on the side of the street, you know, you have 100 riyals, barakallah feek, you can buy a few boxes, you go give it to them. This could be the best thing you do in your whole Hajj. No one knows. Subhanallah. So the Shaykh said, وَالرِّفْقُ بِالْفُقَرَىٰ. Maybe you can be kind and generous with the poor. وَيَسْتَصْحِبُ مَا يَصْلِحُهُ مَا يُصْلِحُهُ كَالسِّوَاكِ وَالْمِشْطِ وَالْمِرْآتِ وَالْمِكْحَلَىٰ. And you should take that which will rectify your appearance, such as the siwak for your teeth, والمشت. What is مشت? Where's mine? Huh? You gotta have one of these, ikhwan, especially the bearded brothers, huh? Either for your hair, but if you don't have hair, then for your beard, huh? You gotta make that beard look nice. So mish, you know, maybe get it from the pharmacy for 4 or 5 riyals, but this is a must for a man. At least they had it back then, still available till today. Wal mir'at, and a mirror, huh? And a mirror. And just for the benefit of the brothers who use smartphones, okay? On the Android market, there's an application called Swiss Army Knife. Swiss Army Knife. It's an amazing application, maybe 600 kilobytes. And one of the features on this thing is a mirror. It turns the front camera of your phone into a mirror. So if you ever need a mirror and you don't have, you know, a real mirror in the bathroom or something, you pull out your phone and you turn it on. I can show it to you actually, just so you will see what I'm talking about. And so you can see yourself. This is the application. It's an amazing application, it's for the record. And look here, it says mirror. See? You see yourself? And then you can actually zoom in and zoom out, and you can make the lighting even more effective. And it also has an magnifying glass. So if you have bad sight and you want to read something on the back of a candy or something that is very small, it enlarges it for you. Huh? So, barakallahu feekum. And using the dunya, the matters of the dunya for the deen is a good thing. I don't know about iPhone, brother, barakallahu feek. Don't go off the track, Allah khalik. Stick on the track, chief. Anyways, huh? So mir'at, this is modern mir'at. Huh? Can't take a glass one so it won't break, your phone will do the job. Well, mikhala, which is an abandoned sunnah nowadays, with, you know, the mikhala for your eyes, right? For the eyelashes, particularly. ويتصدق بشيء قبل خروجه. The Shaykh is suggesting that you give some sadaqah before you leave. وإذا اكترى فليظهر للجمال فليظهر للجمال كل ما يريد أن يحمله من قليل وكثير. And once you decide to go, to take off, then you should present to the Jamal. Jamal back then is the person who will be taking care of the camels, the one who's leading the caravan, in other words. You should present to him everything that you intend on carrying, be it a lot or a little, whether it is something big or something small. And he said, وَقَدْ قَالَ رَجُلُ لِبْنِ الْمُبَارَكِ احْمِلْ لِي هَذِي الرِّقْعَ إِلَى فُلَانِ فَقَالَ حَتَّى أَسْتَأْذِنِ الْجَمَّالِ. One person told Ibn al-Mubarak, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah, he said, take this cloth with you to this person. He said, no, not until I seek permission from the Jamal. In modern days, huh, you don't go with surprises. So when you're going on a bus with a group, you don't be taking some extra luggage and you leave other people with no space for their luggage. And some people only think about themselves. They bring, you know, 3-4 bags, and or even when coming back, they bring zamzam, you know, zamzam and zamzam, so much zamzam that they wind up not giving anybody else any space. They sit it and put it on the seats and put it at the bottom and put it on the top of the bus. And other people are, you know, all crammed up at the fifth because the bottles are sitting over there. Did you tell the bus driver that you'll be bringing this stuff and he told you this is fine, there's room for it? No. So these are from the etiquettes which are almost forgotten nowadays. It's all like nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself, everybody else, they will figure it out on their own. وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَلْتَمِسَ رَفِيقًا صَالِحًا مُحِبًّا لِلْخَيْرِ مُعِينًا عَلَيْهِ إِنْ نَسِيَ ذَكَّرَهُ وَإِنْ ذَكَرَ أَعَانَهُ أَوْ وَإِنْ ذَكَّرَ أَعَانَهُ وَإِنْ ضَاقَ صَدْرَهُ صَبَّرَهُ. Beautiful. And you should go fetching for a righteous, loving, or a person who's loving or who loves righteousness. Yani find a good person, a righteous person who's inclined towards goodness. That's a better way to put it. Muhibban lil khair. Mu'inan alayhi, someone who will aid you and assist you in doing good. Why? If you forget, he will remind you. And how often does that happen? Huh? It's always nice to be sitting with someone who, as soon as you pick up the, you know, the soda drink with your left hand, he says, hey, right hand please. Huh? And you're like, oh. And of course, you know the old story. Brother, my hand is greasy. My hand is greasy. You know, have you seen this one before? you give him, he's drinking Pepsi or whatever that thing is, or glass, cup, anything, with the left hand. And you tell him, "Akhi, drink with the right." He said, "My other hand is greasy." So he will drink with the left hand like this and put his finger. You've seen this one? He'll put his finger here and drink. Say, "What is this?" Said, "I'm drinking now with both hands." Say, "This is only one finger, man. There's no magical finger in Islam that will convert this left to right." And then the other answer is, "Akhi, when you finished with this Pepsi, do you take it home as a souvenir? Maybe you put it on top of the TV if you have one, or you put it on the sleep next to it." Said, "No, what do you do with it?" "I throw it in the trash." "Tayyib, you get it greasy, ya Sheikh. You're going to put it in the trash? But let the grease all over it here. Put rice all around it, and meat, and chicken, and whatever you want. And when you're done, throw it in the trash. Ishfi." No. "Wallahi, brother. Even if it's a glass, were you going to wash the glass or you weren't going to wash the glass?" "You were going to wash the glass. You put your greasy mouth on it. Then hold the glass at home with your greasy hand. There's no excuse except the shaitan will insist. Because if you eat with the left hand, he's going to eat with you. So he will give the person 100 reasons why it's okay to eat and drink with the left hand. And it takes a man to realize that he's wrong and just to do it with the right hand, irrespective of what's going on. How did we get here? A righteous one who reminds you when you forget. Hey. And when he reminds you, he aids you. Not only he reminds you, he will assist you in carrying out this reminder. And if you become tight-chested, or your chest is constricted, then he will give you patience. He will remind you of patience. Sabbarak. Isbir ya fulan. Alhamdulillah. Look at other people. We are in better condition. This kind of companion. Not the other one. وَلْيُؤَمِّرِ الرُّفَقَاءَ أَوْ الرُّفَقَاءُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَحْسَنُهُمْ أَوْ أَحْسَنَهُمْ خُلُقًا. And let those... Of course, when you know in Islam, when we have a group of three and more or more, we're going to have one Amir. So when we choose this Amir, we should choose the one who is what? According to the Shaykh, best in character. Right? There's a good reason for that one. You don't want Mr. Upset and Angry all the time to be the Amir. And because he may tell you some wild things. Every time he gets mad, he issues some wrong commands. Do 10 push-ups. Everybody. Sheikh, khalas. Don't bring this kind of Amir. Huh? Find someone who's nice and easy. He won't give you a hard time. وَأَرْفَقُهُمْ بِالْأَصْحَابِ. And he's the most kind and considerate towards his companions. وَإِنَّمَا احْتِيجَ إِلَى التَّأْمِيرِ لِأَنَّ الْأَرَاءَ تَخْتَلِفُ. Why this concept exists in Islam, which is a beautiful concept? Why would you need an Amir if you're going on a small journey? Because opinions differ. People have different opinions. I want to eat at this restaurant, and he wants to eat at that restaurant. And some people now, if we could be friends, friends don't have a problem. They would sort it out. But sometimes you go with people that are not your friends. So if he wants to eat this kind of food and you want to eat that kind of food, you must have a decisive statement by someone in authority. This is why الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. There has to be a leader, a mudir in the house. If the man was a mudir and the woman was a mudir, huh? Mini dir, we'll be having a disaster, man. The kid would not know to which school to go. The mother wants this school and the father wants that school. And the mother wants this and the father wants that. And he has to obey both. But when one person calls the shots and the other party has to abide and adhere, then the problem is solved. Of course, that doesn't mean a man becomes a dictator. He consults his wife and he takes her opinion and he gives it value and importance, but at the end of the day he's the mudir, and therefore his say is the authoritative one. نعم فلا ينتظم التدبير وعلى الأمير الرفق بالقوم والنظر في مصالحهم وأن يجعل نفسه وقاية لهم. Yeah, and so there will be lack of organization because of difference of opinion and lack of organization. You need one Amir. However, this Amir has to be kind towards his people. He should look after the benefits, that which benefits them, their well-being in other words. And he should make himself like a protector for them. He should protect them from anything which is harmful. وينبغي للمسافر تطيب الكلام وإطعام الطعام وإظهار محاسن الأخلاق، فإن السفر يخرج خفايا الباطن، ومن كان في السفر الذي هو مظنة الضجر حسن الخلق أو حسن الخلق كان في الحضر أحسن خلقا أو أحسن خلقا. He said, and it is incumbent on the traveler to choose the best of words, the sweetest of words. Huh? And he should feed the food. He should feed of whatever he has. And he should display the most noble of character, the best character. Because traveling will bring out the hidden. And you can be Mr. Nice Guy until you travel. And you're being tested, and you're tired, and this, and then all the things which you usually hide from the people, they come out. They're like, whoa, that's the same guy we used to hang out with, man, what happened? The Sheikh said, so who's ever, if a person is during travel, which is a time when you'll be bored often, he has good character, that means that when he is not traveling, he is definitely of a better character. Because you're expected to be the worst while you're traveling. And the Prophet ﷺ said, السفر يعني قطعة من العذاب. Until now, subhanAllah, traveling is like a portion of torture. Even though we have modern aircraft and we have this, still when you travel, life is tough. You have to go to the airport on time and boarding pass, and you have the bag, and you're wearing clothes that you usually don't wear, and you're trying to look nice on the while on the plane because you have a meeting when you get there, and you cannot look lousy. And you know, you have the stewardess, you don't want to deal with those. The flight attendants, all these females going back and forth, it's all adab. Huh? Until you make it to your destination, where's the masjid? Then you go to the hotel, people smoking and music all over the place, and it's like, ah! I just want to go back home, huh? Nothing like wife and kids and you know, the cozy home of yours. So even though travel now could be one day, you still suffer in this travel. Subhanallah. So that doesn't change. Sunnatullah fil safar. And if you observe the dua of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and ونعوذ بك من وعثاء السفر وكآبة المنظر وسوء المنقلب في المال والأهل, the dua of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in general, in regards to travel, shows you all of that. It shows you what are the elements of torture in the actual travel. نعم. وقد قيل إذا أثني أو إذا أثنى على الرجل معاملوه في الحضر ورفقاؤه في السفر فلا تشكوا في صلاحه. Beautiful. It was said, if a person has been praised by the people who deal with him in his residency, meaning while he's a resident, and he's been praised by his companions during travel, then do not doubt his righteousness. Don't doubt his righteousness. Definitely a righteous man. If the people that deal with him locally praise him, and those who traveled with him praise him, it's a done deal. وينبغي له أن يودع رفقاءه وإخوانه المقيمين ويلتمس أدعيتهم ويجعل خروجه بكرة يوم الخميس وليصلي في منزله ركعتين قبل الخروج منه ويستودع أهله وماله. أي. And it is incumbent on him to give farewell to his companions and his resident brothers. And he should also seek their dua. Now let's do a quick test here before y'all fall asleep. Who knows the dua of the muqim to the musafir? You are muqim, you're staying, and your friend is traveling. He's going back home or he's going somewhere to Riyadh. What is the dua that you're supposed to say to this person? Wait, first, those who know, raise your hands. I just want to have a small statistics here. Two people. Huh? Fi amanillah. Ya Sheikh. That was a good one, brother. No, barakallahu feek. Of course, this is locally, yes. Now, this is a homemade, customized dua. ما في مشكلة. We're not saying it's wrong. But we want the dua from the sunnah. By the way, they say Manila, huh? Allahu a'lam, in the Philippines. Manila comes from Amanila. I don't know how authentic this information, but just in case someone wanted that. Anybody else? You over there hiding? Yes, sir. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Now, if I were to ask you, brothers, you know, what are the Western, Western expressions of giving farewell? Then you hear, ciao, hasta la vista, bye-bye, see you later, take care of yourself, have a safe journey, have a safe trip. Someone will enumerate, mashallah, tabarakallah, all languages. Some people actually memorize these things. They memorize all the cursing words of all other languages and all the things that have to do with food and hello and goodbye. Someone will tell you, I speak French. You say, yeah, I speak some French. He will tell you, marhaban, goodbye, then he will curse you out. Say, okay, khalas, this is his French for him. The 5-6 words. Which is not true, actually. But so, in the dua, we have some problems. You see, that shows you how much the sunnah is not really yani important enough in our lives. I don't know. But anyways, I'll forgive all of us, including myself. The dua, who knows it then? You know it? Fadda. Beautiful. Astawdi'u Allah. This is one of them, by the way. Memorize them, ya akhwan. They're in a nice little book called Hasan al-Muslim. Wallah, there's no excuse. You find it in any bookstore for 2 riyals. It says on the back, 2 riyals. Small. And it's available in English, in Urdu, in every language in the world. The dua of the muqim to the traveler. Astawdi'u Allah deenaka wa amanatika wa khawatima a'malik. Wa amanataka wa khawatima a'malik. I leave in the trust of Allah your deen and your trust and the good ending of your deed. That's one dua. What's the other dua? La. This is the dua of the traveler to the muqim. Which is, we will need that. We will need that. The dua of the one traveling. Now we're saying, what do you say to your traveling friend? The first one by Sheikh Abdul Majid. Anybody else? Anyone knows the other dua? طيب ما في مشكلة. زودك الله التقوى وغفر لك ذنبك ويسر لك الخير حيثما كنت. Very brief. زودك الله التقوى وغفر لك ذنبك ويسر لك الخير حيثما كنت. May Allah supply you with taqwa. And may Allah forgive, and may He forgive you your sin, and may He facilitate you towards goodness wherever you may be. Beautiful dua. Then the traveler says to the muqim, أستودعك الله الذي لا تضيء ودائعه. I leave you in the trust of Allah, the one who never wastes that which He is entrusted with. He never ignores or neglects that which He is entrusted with. So these are 3 ad'iyah which we have to memorize, ya akhwan. There's a barakah in the dua of the Prophet ﷺ. So when a person is traveling, you make the dua for them, and they make the dua when they're traveling, as opposed to hasta la vista and ciao and all the other stuff. And there's no harm in doing both, There's no harm in doing both, but the dua has to be included somewhere. Then you can say fi amanillah, before or after. But the dua is the most important thing. And he should make the time of departure early morning, early Thursday morning. And let him pray 2 rak'at in his house prior to leaving. And he should leave in the trust of Allah his wealth and his family. وَيَسْتَعْمِلِ الْأَدْعِيَةَ وَالْأَذْكَارِ الْمَأْثُورَ عِنْدَ خُرُوجِ مِنْ مَنْزِلِهِ. And he should recite and mention the ad'iyah which are narrated from the Prophet ﷺ upon leaving the house. I hope we know those ones. بسم الله توكلت على الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. اللهم أني أعوذ بك أن أضل أو ضل أو أزل أو أزل أو أظلم أو أظلم أو أجهل أو يجهل علي. صحيح؟ طيب. وفي ركوعه وفي ركوبه عفوا ونزوله. And the أدعية which we say upon mounting or riding something, we know the dua of riding. Everybody knows that. And upon going down. وهي مشهورة في كثير من الكتب في مناسك الحج. Anyways, they're famous. You can find them in many books that deal with the rites of Hajj. We're almost finished. Time out. وكذلك جميع المناسك من الإحرام والطواف والسعي والوقوف بعرفة. Similarly, all the أدعية related to the various rites of Hajj. From the time you put on your إحرام until the circumambulation around the كعبة, then the سعي and the وقوف بعرفة, standing in عرفة. وغير ذلك من أعمال الحج يأتي فيها بما ذكر من الأذكار والدعوات والآداب. He should then apply all of the various ad'iyah which have been mentioned in this regard, and all the various adhkar and the etiquettes as well. وكل ذلك مستوفى في كتب الفقه وغيرها فليطلب هناك. All of this, however, is detailed in the books of jurisprudence, in the books of fiqh. So go seek it over there. If you want it, go in the books of ad'iyah, the books of hajj. He's here dealing with the other elements of hajj. And inshaAllah ta'ala, if you all remain alive and healthy, next week we'll be dealing with the faslun fil adab al batina wal ishara ila asrar al hajj, the internal etiquettes and some of the secrets in pertaining to hajj itself. Things to bring to mind during the various ibadat and the various manasik of hajj. Hada wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Barakallahu feek. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.